girlfriends who've been on little voyages in the past.
We have. It's been several weeks since we've been together.
Maybe three.
Yeah, something like that.
It's too long.
Amy Goose sat in for each of us 2 weeks in a row, and that worked out great. And we're in touch with our girlfriend, Steve Bertrand, who's been out for several weeks with his surgery, and he's recovering. And I'm just back from the last grandkid trip for, I have four grandkids, and there's just been this little tradition when they graduate from eighth grade, they have to go on a trip with grandma.
It's very good to be Kathy's grandchild.
And
one wouldn't mind it.
And they get to pick. I'm not traveling to Australia. I'm not going to be on a plane for 18 hours. So don't even think about going in that direction, but let's go the other direction. And each of them, one after the other, has chosen Italy. So this time, I decided to do it as a cruise to make it easy on Grandma, so we only had to unpack once. And in previous visits to Italy with the other three, we've done it at spring break, April. And this time it didn't work out because spring break for Ian was in March.
How'd
and
you
the
like
cruise...
summer in Naples?
Oh, my God.
It's a pisser, isn't it?
Oh, my. And in Rome, we started out in Rome. I swear it was like it is here. Now, here's... I have several travel-related questions. And you girlfriends know our number, 312-981-7200. If you can answer any of these questions for me. In Rome... Ian's walking around in shorts. I don't do shorts anymore, but I'm walking around in lightweight pants and a
That's
sleeve.
Your grandson, and, Ian.
Yeah, Ian, yeah. There, it was hard not to notice. In Rome, there are a number of women of the Muslim faith who choose to cover, mm-hmm. which means for some of them, they are covered from head to toe. Some, only their face is visible. And my question is, do they make burkas in wicking fabric? Because I swear to God, some of those burkas look like they're made of felted wool. Some of them. And I just wonder, it has to be remarkably oppressive to be under layers of covering like that. And are there manufacturers that at least make those coverings in lightweight fabrics or even in wicking fabrics like they make for athletes?
Go on Amazon.
I looked. I didn't see it. So 312-981-7200 if you know the answer to that.
If you're one of our Muslim girlfriends.
Right, exactly.
You might know someone who knows if you yourself are wearing Western clothes. But
the other question is, I don't know if I'm going to find people who know this. Because I was struck on our cruise, and we went on a Norwegian Cruise Line ship. Lovely ship. It was a fabulous cruise. It was really lovely. But there are no Americans working it. And there are no Brits.
Why should there be?
Well, I don't know. There are Indonesians and Philippines and South Africa and Africa, Northern Africa, India,
so
Pakistan.
So do you think that's because the pay is low?
The conditions, I think, from what I did go online for this. Conditions are horrible. On cruise ships, those people work 12 to 18 hour days. Think about it. 12 to 18 hour days.
Being nice.
They're always pleasant. They're always friendly. They're always clean and fresh and made up. And I read one online story by a guy, an American guy, who wanted to go work on a cruise ship because his girlfriend was working on a cruise ship. I don't know what foreign land she was from. And his experience was that cruise lines do everything they can not to hire Americans because the history shows they'll quit. They're all on 9-month contracts. You sign a 9-month contract, and apparently Americans, after a couple weeks, go, this sucks. I'm not working this hard. Well, you have to come into port.
Right.
You come into port, and you can just say, I'm out of here. So I'm interested in if anybody knows anybody who's ever worked on a cruise ship. So we've got two questions. We've got wicking burqa fabric or Muslim covering fabrics to make women who wear those that kind of clothing more comfortable in intensive heat. And also for nuns. I mean, a lot of nuns in Rome that still do the whole outfit thing.
You went to the Vatican, didn't you?
We were very close. I mean, we were half a block from St. Peter's Square. So we were very close. We didn't go to the Vatican Museum. Been there, done that. Okay, the third question, and I know we will have girlfriends who can answer this. Again, our number, text us or call us, 312-981-7200. On the ride home, on the flight home from Rome on a 777, I kept noticing that flight, we were seated right where economy and economy plus meet, mm-hmm. where the bathrooms are. There's a sort of a block of two bathrooms, I think, two or three bathrooms. There's a door that flight attendants kept going in and closing. And I think it's like a little sleeping area because they would go in and it looked like they were going down a ladder. And there were a couple points when it was like a clown car where the door would open and all of a sudden four flight attendants would come out of this door. So I know we have girlfriends who have been flight attendants, girlfriends and guy friends, and who are, who can tell me, how big is that? How many beds are down there? What's the deal with that?
Well, wait. Were you staying up when you could have been sleeping on
The way home.
Oh, on the way home.
Yeah, this is on the way home. I didn't notice it on the way over. And I know I've been on flights before, international flights, where there's sort of a little seat area that they have curtained off, mm-hmm. and you see them go in there for an hour or two. But I just want to hear from somebody who can address that secret door. They all have to unlock it and go down a little ladder. And how big is that area? And even better, did anybody ever take a picture of it? 312.
Oh, my God, you'd probably, I mean, that would be so prohibited. You'd probably lose your job.
312-981-7200. There was a cruise director on our cruise. It was a guy, though. And every time he turned around, there he was running a bingo game or running a deal or no deal game. Or there was one kind of hokey thing, but I sort of bought it. When you come back from a day, you pull into port in the morning, and it's kind of fun to be up early to see how they maneuver a big ship like that into port. But when you come back at the end of the day, they often have a line of employees and music going, and they're doing a line dance kind of thing. So when you come back onto the ship, you walk through this line of employees who are dancing and all kinds
of festive.
What
does the Norwegian line dance look like?
Very Indonesian and Filipino-ing.
Got it.
Yeah. So okay. I threw out a couple questions because it was so hot where we were in Italy, France, and Spain. And there were so many women, Muslim women, who were covering. I just wonder, is there some kind of clothing line that's lightweight wicking fabric for women who cover like that in intense heat? The other one was, what are the working conditions on a cruise? I know they work very, very hard. And the other one is, what is that flight attendant clown car that there is on a 777 where the flight attendants, the secret room that they go into and apparently sleep a couple hours during a long flight.
Well, we have cruising employees or former employees.
Well, this is Alan. You were a contractor on a cruise ship?
I worked for a travel company that took tours out on cruise ships, and I have a couple that's a friend of mine that work on Holland America now, and I had two other people that worked on Royal Caribbean as a
are they Americans? Show director. Ellen, are they Americans?
Yes. In fact, the one lives out in the western suburbs when they're home.
Okay, so if they're contractors, I'm guessing they're not the employees who are working 12 to 18-hour days. They're entertainers or something like that.
Well, the ones that live out here are future cruise bookers. They're called hosts and hostesses, mm-hmm. and they book you on future cruises. So they work for the cruise line.
Okay.
They're employees by the cruise line, and they work on a six-month contract.
Where okay. do they sleep? What are their quarters right. like?
Well, my friends' quarters are beautiful. They work on the new ships, and they enjoy it. They've been doing it now, oh, it's got to be 6 or 7 years.
So they're not in the belly of the boat?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
The newer ships have nicer quarters. The friends of mine that were the shore tour directors, they had smaller rooms when they were on the older ships. But as the new ships came out, the rooms got bigger. The people that work in the dining room are contracted through places in Europe.
Right.
And Asia.
And the far right. Well, actually, Alan, we actually have somebody who was a waiter on a cruise ship. We're going to go to that one.
Okay, great.
All right, stay cool, Alan. Thanks. This is Margaret. Margaret, you were a service person, a waiter on a cruise ship.
Yes, I was. Hi, Kathy and Judy. I'm in the garden listening to you.
So oh, my good. God. Now, I Margaret, hope you get out of the sun and the heat soon.
Are you an American?
Yes.
For which cruise line did you serve as a waiter?
American Hawaii Cruises.
Okay. And how long was your workday?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe the midnight buffet if you goofed up.
Okay, so 12 to 18 hours.
Yeah, I just dreamt about sleep.
Okay, and what kind of money did you make?
Well, I thought it was good at the time. It was 1980.
Okay.
1980 through 1985. I guess I made like $3,000 a month, and I just banked it all because I didn't have any expenses except bikini.
That's true. $3,000 a month is decent pay when you don't have to provide your own, when you don't have to pay for your accommodations or your food.
That's right.
In 1980,
right?
It was even
exactly.
More decent. And what were your sleeping quarters like, Margaret?
Dreadful.
Just like a bunk.
It was a bunk. There were four women to a bunk. There was no porthole.
Ooh.
It was grim.
Right, I'll bet. And how did you do it for one contract?
No, I didn't have contracts. I was in a union.
Uh-huh.
I was a merchant marine. I was in a union, and I would go 3 months on, 1 month off.
Okay, because I think these guys now go 9 months on, three months off.
American Hawaii was the only cruise line that employed Americans.
Where'd you learn to say Hawaii?
Because I know Hawaii so well.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, Margaret, thank you. It's good to talk to somebody who worked on a cruise line. Do you cruise now?
No. I became a flight attendant, and I can tell you about that 777.
Tell me about the secret clown car room.
Well, it's our rest area on the
okay.
777.
But is there like a little ladder that you have to go down?
No, it's on the same level, and there's four places to lie down flat with curtains, two bunks, that is.
Okay.
And how long do you have to lie down?
It depends if you're going to Tokyo, if you're going to China. It depends how long the flight is.
Uh-huh. What's the most you were ever allowed?
4 hours.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. All right, so there's four places down there, because I swear at one point six or eight people came out of that door at once.
Is it men and women together?
It's in shifts.
No.
It's what?
It's in shifts.
Right.
But
yeah.
You mean you have a man shift, then a woman shift?
No.
There was only one male flight attendant on our flight, and he was down there. He went down with women. Yeah.
You hop in the bunk. Some people change out of their uniform into something else. And you close the curtain, and you can read, or you can sleep, or whatever you want.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank
I'm
you,
glad
Margaret.
To hear that.
Okay. And quickly, we'll go to Renee. Renee, does that sort of jive with your experience of the little sleeping area on a 777?
It does. And it's very comfortable in there. There's oxygen compartment if there's a decompression, all the safety equipment's in there. And so it's very comfortable. The pilots, theirs is right behind the cockpit. And there sleeps two pilots at a time.
Okay, because the one I saw was right in the middle of the plane.
Yeah, that's the flight attendant crew rest.
Right.
And
there's four bunks in there.
Yeah, it's it would be like a sleeper on a train.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So you have to be pretty senior to be able to take advantage of an international flight where you're going to get a nap. Right?
Yes, I have 32 years.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Okay. Yeah. And you're still flying.
No, I retired 4 years ago.
Okay.
Can you still fly free?
You know, you can, but you can't get on an airplane because there's no capacity anymore.
Right.
So we just buy tickets. One of the perks is we don't have to pay to check our luggage.
Well, and you also get a break on the cost of your ticket, right?
Yes. Okay. 20% off.
Yeah. How much?
20% off.
Oh, that's not huge. Right.
Well, yeah, it is considering the airfares.
I mean, my sister works for the airline, and she flies back and forth a lot. Sometimes they just have to wait half a day to get a flight that's not full.
Oh, so she doesn't buy a ticket?
No, and most of the time when she gets on, it's first class or business because those are the seats that aren't sold. Do you find that, Renee?
Not really, because I do a lot of domestic flying.
Oh, okay. She flies back and forth to the Middle East, so, yeah.
Well, and the perk that you had when you were an employee is you could ride those extra jump seats. But once you retire, you can't sit on a jump seat.
Okay.
So that's a huge loss once you retire.
Right. That's another thing about getting old, Renee.
You're desperate for a jump seat.
Renee, thanks for the call.
Oh, and I so enjoy you guys.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.
So take it away, Sam.
With your out-of-context quote from a Cubs what?
This is Cubs manager Joe Maddon. I guess we'll just come back with it. He's very free spirit, always gives you all these good nuggets. This was his main nugget from last night. If you blink, you might miss it.
Okay.
For as much as you like to play with that toy, you got to sometimes leave it in the toy box.
Okay, now
that's
I have to say, fine advice.
Yes.
I have to say that if we hadn't had the intro to that.
You wouldn't.
I would have just gone, okay, pass.
It wouldn't have occurred to you that there might be a sort of hidden meaning in that.
No, but you saw a hidden. Sam, thank you.
I thought Kathy and Judy right away. I'm sitting here this morning going through all the tape, and I hear.
For as much as you like to play with that toy, you got to sometimes leave it in a toy box.
I immediately thought, I'm going to bring it up. Hopefully it goes well.
Gotta put that back in the toy box.
Almost as dark as Kathy's, because tell about your Facebook post this week.
Which one was this?
Oh, we're not doing politics, but we're just saying this one thing.
I just wondered if, as Hillary Clinton's team was sitting around choosing a vice presidential candidate, if somebody said, you know what, Cory Booker is a great choice, but Clinton Booker is going to open ourselves up to attack.
Sam, do you get that?
Not yet. Give me a second.
Well, the other side is contending that she's a criminal.
Yeah.
That she's a criminal.
Right.
So if you have Clinton Booker, it's just a juxtaposition
that opens it.
You think that's dark. You don't think anybody in the campaign ever brought that up at a meeting and said, ooh, this is going to be trouble.
I'm sure
they're
paid
to be devious. You just do it for free.
Oh,
I don't know. It didn't grab me right away. I didn't understand it right away.
Yeah. Clinton
Booker. Yeah. I kept going. I'm going to be asking Kathy about that on Saturday.
All right. Well, we do have. Thank you, Sam,
no
for
problem.
That.
We have a musical intro
to
our next topic.
Oh, I'm Sammy the Snake, and I look like the letter S.
Yes. So, Sammy the Snake is our intro into a topic that I read in the business section of the New York Times, where it was about ethics, my favorite topic. But every time I try and take a course in it, you have to study Plato.
Okay.
And I just don't have time
to
go that far back. So anyway, the ethicist question was from a person who is going to sell her house, but she has this little problem. Two or three times a year, she gets a garden snake, it's a biting mildly poisonous snakes that come up to her house.
Is she in the Southwest or something?
It didn't say where she was located.
Okay.
Or just in the Southwest, it wouldn't matter because she didn't know whether or not to tell
a prospective
potential
buyer.
buyers that a couple times a year you're going to be surprised by where these snakes show up. Some kind of copperhead.
I don't think that's, when you sell a house, and I know because I'm trying to do that now, there's a disclosure form that you have to fill out among the many forms that says, we get water in the basement, we have radon, or we had radon and we fixed it, or any number of other things. We're aware of the fact that, I don't know, I guess it doesn't say anything about snakes or even bees. I mean, sometimes people get bees in the attic or stuff like that. And
well, if you've had it and you've had it remediated, I don't think you would have to say
it. But snakes, you can't remediate, right?
I don't think
that's part of a disclosure form.
Maybe, I don't know.
Heaven knows we have realtor girlfriends.
Right. Well, the question that I wanted to ask is, what did the person who sold you your house decide not to tell you? They just kind of neglected to mention that there was a bunch of weasels that liked a certain corner of your basement.
Okay.
I've never seen a weasel. I have no idea where they live.
I don't either. I think they look like minks.
Oh, I think they're bigger.
Are they?
I made it up. I don't know, but I feel as if they're bigger than that. But have you bought a house that you only wish, like when we bought a house in Wilmette years ago, we weren't told, because it happened to the whole street, that the street would flood out. It just would flood out. And when, I don't know whether the previous owners, because it wasn't indigenous to our house, whether the previous owners had, you know,
affected
those backup sump pumps.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some floating washing machines for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, when...
I would think that would have to have been in a disclosure form.
Well, it may have been like you're in a floodplain.
Right. Okay.
But it only happens every 40 years.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Right.
But, or the flip side is whether or not there was something kind of wrong with your house and you debated whether or not to disclose us. Close it. And if you call us on that, you can be a Vince or a Rhonda and not use your real name.
Right. 312-981-7200.
Right. Now, one reason you should buy Kathy's house is she doesn't have any snakes or weasels.
I don't have snakes or weasels. And I just looked up weasels, and they're cute.
Weasels are really cute
little animals.
Are they chipmunky cute?
Well, they look like they're probably... It's a foot long.
Uh-huh.
They just have a really cute little face. So anyway, if you call somebody a weasel...
Well, then you'd say, and for no extra money...
You can get some adorable weasels in the basement.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm trying to sell my house, for Pete's sake.
It's very charming.
Oui. And I had radon. Out there, apparently, there's a lot of radon in the ground out there in Bureau County. And so I checked, and damned if I didn't have radon in the basement. So you have to pay for a radon remediation system, which sucks it all out constantly. There's a fan constantly going, so the radon doesn't accumulate in that basement space. Well, I lived there for 10 years. Well, I mean,
and you
to say there was no damage might not be entirely correct, because you guys listen to me
where those headaches come from.
Right.
The radon headaches.
Right. Now, this is Colleen. Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
Hi.
What was your situation?
My situation was when we moved several years ago, 25 years ago, into Brookfield. It was our first home. And we asked the homeowners if they had ever flooded. And they told us, no, we never had any water. So what happens years later, we got 4.5 feet of water in our basement. Yeah.
Did neighbors say, that happens all the time, or that hasn't?
Neighbor told us after that. She said about 5 years before you moved in, they had the fire department here pumping water out of their basement window. We didn't notice that the furnace was up on slabs and washer and dryer. It was our first home. We had no idea what we were looking for.
But didn't you have an inspector?
We did. Not a very good one.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? Inspectors inspect your house, and they're disclosure form says, I'm not responsible for anything I didn't notice.
Right.
They're
right.
So they're really totally covered.
So right. We figured it out, where water was coming from, and kind of fixed it ourselves.
Well, yeah.
Right. So you can relate.
No, I can relate.
Totally. Are you still in that house, Colleen?
We are. We fixed it, and, you know, with houses right now. It's good for us now because our kids are gone. We only have one. So it's good for the family and good when they're gone. It's small enough yet large enough.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
And when we come back.
Oh, okay. I was going to say before a break, let's go to Anne and her issue in her house. Yes.
What did someone not tell you about or you didn't tell your buyers about?
Hi, this is Anne. Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Anne.
The buyers didn't tell us about the house had fleas.
From their animals, like in the carpet and stuff?
From their animals.
You mean they were the sellers?
They were the sellers and we were the buyers.
And you said, this is a nice house. Let's buy it.
Right, right. Because at the time, it didn't have fleas, I think. I don't know. And I had a little baby. And my friend noticed that she said that, gosh, the kids are getting little bites. You know, I had a girlfriend over with another little baby. Uh-huh. And she knew they were fleas. I didn't have any pets, so I didn't know what they were. And we cleaned the carpets immediately then. And then when we called our realtor and told her about it, she said, okay, let me contact the sellers. Well, they were mad that we cleaned the carpets because now they lost their warranty on the cleaning. I said, well, then you should have told us about the fleas to start with.
Well, what do they care? You're the ones that would have to keep the carpet clean. They had left the house.
Right. They had left the house. But then when they had the house bombed, I guess.
Uh-huh.
When I came in, I cleaned the carpets immediately when we moved in, before we even moved any furniture in. I cleaned all the carpets, had a carpet cleaning company come in and clean everything. And when they did that, it
violated the warranty on the bombing.
It violated the warranty, and it cleaned out the bombing that they had done with the company, you know. So okay. I said, well, you didn't tell us about it. If you had told us about it, then we would have...
You still live there?
Cleaned it.
Still live there, Anne, with the fleas?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you tell the next people?
No, because we rectified the situation.
Oh, okay.
And then we were there for like 17 years. I mean, we did live there after.
Okay.
And what happened was I did get the carpets cleaned, but they had to come in and bomb it again, so I had to leave the house with the kids. You know, I said I didn't want to stay there.
Right.
So I stayed at my in-laws for, 5 days or so. Mm-hmm. And then when I felt it was comfortable and safe, because I said, I don't know what chemicals you're throwing on this carpeting. I don't want little ones to be on it. So that was the problem that we were,
Well, fleas, snakes and fleas and weasels. And thanks for the call.
Sneaky snake goes dancing, wiggling and a hissing.
Snakes.
Okay, did you tell the people about the snakes in your house when you were selling it? We've got a couple of callers that, this is a Rhonda, so we always appreciate a Rhonda call. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, that's me. Yep, Rhonda.
What were you not told about when you bought a house?
Well, what we weren't told about was that there was a murder in my house.
How long ago was this? Because I think you have to disclose that now.
Oh, it was about, the murder probably took place around 20 years ago. We'd been in here for maybe 23 years ago, because we'd been here about 19 years.
I think we have a realtor online. Is this Mitch on line
all right,
two?
Hold on a second. I'm not sure how to get two people on at once.
Bob,
hold on a second. I'm going to put you on hold. This is Mitch. Hi, Mitch.
Mitch?
Hi. Are you a realtor?
I am.
What do you have to disclose on the disclosure form?
The disclosure forms are primarily for disclosing material defects with the property. In other words, is there a problem with the foundation? Is there a problem with the chimney? Is there a well? Is there a septic system?
So not a murder?
No. Now, it's one of those things where a buyer's agent should be working to help them, but it's funny. People get, I think, sometimes carried away with the concept of finding their dream home and don't always do their homework. You know, if you sat down, if you met somebody on a blind date, you would ask them questions. Who are they?
Have you ever murdered anybody? I wouldn't ask that.
Right. But, a blind date isn't going to cost you, $300,000, $800,000. And sometimes people just don't always remember to ask the questions. You can always Google the address to see if any news reports come up that says, you know, there was a fight that broke out at 123 Main Street and five people were killed.
Okay, but Mitch, you have to disclose flooding, radon. What are the other things you have to disclose?
If the house was built before 1978, there's the lead-based paint.
Oh, lead paint, right.
There's the radon, mold.
You know, oh, right, if you're aware of mold, right.
Right, okay. Well, and that's the thing. They all start with whether there's an awareness. Have you
okay,
ever
okay. But not snakes.
No, because that's really outside the house, and a seller can't always have control.
Good point.
Of whether a squirrel walks into the yard or whether a tree falls. You know, and that's another thing. People should always check the trees when they buy a house and find out whether they're healthy. I have a client right now that we realized this huge pine tree 15 feet from the house is riddled with holes. Something's been boring through it. The seller's looking into it, but if nothing is done about it, my clients know that it's something they really need to do some hard homework on as soon as they buy the house, because there's so many holes in this tree that it's a potential risk to the property. But that doesn't have to be disclosed on the form because that's not the house.
Okay. All right. Mitch, we appreciate your expertise.
Sure thing.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Rhonda, wait, I want to ask Rhonda something. Did you find out about the murder? Was it a grisly one?
Yes, it was very grisly. A woman who lived by herself was murdered, and the house was set on fire after that to cover up. And the only way that I actually found out, and we had already been here about 10 years at that point, was because they reopened the case as a cold case, because they never found the perpetrator, and they reopened it as a cold case. And it was the policeman who told me about it, and I needless to say, I was shocked.
Okay.
You know, it's a little creepy, you know.
Well, do you feel like the house was haunted?
No, actually, I didn't, because as I said, I had already lived here for 10 years at that point. We were happy.
Right, exactly.
You know, but, after I found out about it, and of course, there's been several jokes, you know, in my family since then about it, but it was a little creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
Rhonda, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
And Scott, on line three, we've got about 2 minutes, but you had a haunted house.
Well, not that I was aware of, but I sold a house that was actually one of the oldest homes in the city that I live in. And it was a couple of months afterwards that I was contacted by their realtor or my realtor, and they were thinking of suing me because the house was haunted, and I did not disclose that.
Was it haunted?
Not to my knowledge. No, they said that doors would close by themselves and like a ceiling fan would switch directions without them changing it. It was just like very strange. Like,
I bet that happened in their last house too, you know?
It's possible. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Kathy and Judy. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
Stay
cool.
Kathy and Judy back. Worse. Several months ago, because I'd had a couple incidents of word retrieval where you say things like, well, you know that thing that you sit in and there's a wheel and you go forward? You mean a car? Yeah, a car. I went and got, and you did this a couple years ago, I went to a neurologist and got a baseline memory evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed with flying colors. I did fine, which I remind myself of every time I have trouble with word retrieval. And I had two incidents on my trip with Ian, my grandson, where one time I said, you know, that system where it tells you your global position. He said, you mean a GPS? I went, yeah, GPS.
That isn't even a word.
I know.
That's like some three little letters.
And the other one was when we were at Pompeii, and there were several buildings where it was obvious that the building materials, which were sort of rock-like, were filled with evidence that little things had lived in them before. And I could not, for the life of me, come up with the word I was looking for.
What did you mean? Insects?
No. When buried in rock is evidence of things that lived there in the rock.
Oh, fossil things.
That's the word. I am told, I understand, that when you have a word retrieval issue like GPS or fossils, that once you retrieve it, then it's there. So I doubt that I'm going to have trouble with GPS or fossil anymore.
Put them in a sentence together.
I needed my GPS to find my fossil.
I would have had the same sentence.
Well, I had the...
I saw a fossilized GPS.
There you go. I had this conversation with one of my other grandchildren, the one that actually is an adult now. And he said, Grandma, I have that all the time. And so I wonder if there are people out there who go, oh, here's the word. Here's the word that I had trouble retrieving. And it's usually not that bizarre or...
They're nouns. It's almost always nouns.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because you can almost always find another verb. If you forgot the word run, you could say got there fast. And you got there fast.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can do the thing that with a noun you're saying, you know, that thing with the wheels and the
right, that
driving
you sit
wheel.
In and it moves forward.
Right,
yeah.
Right, but it's noun retrieval that seems to be the...
Huh. Well, 312-981-7200 is the number. Give us a call or give us a text. What's the word that you look back now and go, how could I not have retrieved that word? How could I not have known what that word was?
Well, I did one this morning.
What was it?
It was, I was at my friend Francie. She's having a garage sale.
Yes.
And so she had this beautiful wicker. And then I said, you know, the thing they push those babies in.
Oh, okay.
But you didn't come up with baby bug. You came up with perambulator.
Yeah, with which pram. Which is sort of
and
antique.
And it really was.
And, yeah.
Right. And this was very prammy.
Right. Right. So I don't, and if you can give us a call or a text at that number, 312-981-7200, be willing to say your age, because it would be quite a relief to have somebody say, my name is Frank and I'm 18 and I couldn't think of the word for the place that I live or something like that.
Well, you know, there's a very funny, along these lines, there's a very funny scene that my husband and I saw years ago about an older adult living with his family, and they would sit around and they would talk about movies afterwards, and they were trying to figure out who was in the movie. You know, that happens all the time.
That guy.
You know, that guy, he was married to that blonde lady.
Right.
And they'd say, oh, the one with the blue eyes? No, she had brown.
Right.
You know who I mean. And then some guy would say, oh, you mean the one with the face?
Okay, Robin, you can relate.
Hi.
What did you have trouble retrieving?
Well, let me tell you a very quick background. My son is going to start working for a company, a man that was a personal trainer for this really gorgeous musical theater actor. And I was trying to tell somebody the name. And I kept saying, Hugh, who is it? And all I could come up with was Hugh Grant. That wasn't it. It was Hugh Jackman.
Oh, you were halfway there.
Well, Hugh, I got, but
right.
Hugh Grant, Hugh Jackman, that's like, you know, polar opposites of the spectrum there. But
And yeah, is that the only time that you've found yourself having difficulty with word retrieval?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I all the time. But I think what Judy said is very interesting about how you can substitute the verbs.
For verbs, right.
About that. But, man, I have a hard time with nouns.
And your age?
I told the producer, I think I'm 63. I had to count. But yeah, 63.
Okay. Thanks, Robin.
Sure.
We're talking about the word that you couldn't find, the word retrieval issue. And I would love to hear from somebody whose age starts with a one or a two. That can, because my grandson, who's 21, said, Grandma, I have that all the time. With trying to find exactly the right word.
This I like when 40-year-olds can't find their keys. That's
yes.
One of my favorite sports.
This is Michelle, whose age starts with a 5, right, Michelle?
Yeah. Hey, girls, great to hear you. Yes.
Hey, thank you. Too.
What was your word retrieval problem?
Spartacus.
Well, that's a hard word.
We have, in my family, it's words, it's names. It's crazy. My mom and I went for 3 days, could not think of the name of the movie. We went to the Bible. Okay, wait, it's Leviticus, Barabbas. We could not say, and we're going, okay, Kirk Douglas, the one with the homoerotic scene between Olivier and Tony Curtis. We could not remember the name of this damn movie.
How did you finally come up with it?
It just came to me in my sleep. I called my mom like 2 days later. I went, she didn't even say hello. I went, Spartacus!
And now you'll never forget it.
Now we plug it in whenever we can't remember anything. We'll go, oh, can't.
Spartacus. Exactly.
So, and then it can become its own double noun for you, and you can say to your mother, I had a Spartacus moment again.
We do that, you're honest to God. It's become ubiquitous, just like the F word. It's great.
There you go. Spartacus, just plug it in. Thanks, Michelle. This on the text line at 312-981-7200. My mom does it all the time. She's 65 going on 40, but she'll replace it with a similar word, a word that's close. My kids think it's hilarious, and she's always done it. Another text. Thanks, Judy. I'm 48 and looking for my keys right now, walking around the
house. Yay,
you! 312-981-7200. This is Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Your age starts with a 4.
I'm going to be 44 next week, and I use the word thingy more than I would like to.
Oh, instead of when you can't come up with the word.
All the time. I've been horrible with names. When I was in high school, I had a friend for 3 months, and I couldn't remember her name for 3 months, so I always have to, like, find something to associate with it.
So what would you say? Oh, hey, you?
Yeah, or I make up nicknames or just something. So we just got a new worker at where I work, and she would tell me her name is Catherine. Sometimes they call her Cat. I'm like, okay, Cat. I might be able to remember Cat. So, but, oh, I'm horrible.
Now, you're pretty, you know, you're still pretty young.
Yeah.
Does it make you worried about when you come into your golden years?
Oh, yes, because my mother has dementia horribly. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm in so much trouble. But yeah.
But dementia really winds up not being aware of things that you've just said, you know, or not remembering you saw a movie. It's beyond words. It's kind of events.
Oh yeah. I mean, watching her, it's been horrible. But so in the back of my mind, I'm sort of freaking out a little bit.
I'll bet. But it started in high school. You've had it since high school. So it's not about aging.
Diagnose myself with now I can't think of the word where you split your numbers.
I
what's it called
when you split division. Your numbers
division,
you know. Yes, so it's, I think I've always had problems with, like, in my mind with numbers flipping around. I always had problems with math and science where anything with numbers, and I think that my brain's always just been a little
ADD. Now we're actually doing it now. What's that? LLD, learning disability. When you flip numbers and letters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a good reader, but the number, and I even notice, like, when I'm reading phone numbers and I'll say it in my head, and I, you know, like a phone number on a truck, and I'll say it out loud and it'll be backwards. So I think maybe.
It sounds like that.
What is that thing?
LD, learning disability.
No, it's specific to doing
dyslexia?
Things.
Dyslexia?
Oh,
dyslexia.
Well, I mean,
thank you, Bob. Bob, how old are you?
Engineer Bob.
In your 50s?
Yeah. Almost 50.
Yeah, almost. His age starts with a 4.
I think.
Yeah. Heidi, thanks for the call. And we'll be back with more calls and a very hilarious text right after this.
Our hearts would sing along in perfect harmony, but you forgot all the words.
Good one, Bob.
Man knows his lyrics.
Engineer
does he not?
Bob Ferguson. Thank you, Bob.
Yours at the turntable.
We're talking
still paying back.
We're talking about word retrieval issues and the ones that you completely lost. And we have a hilarious text message at 312-981-7200. I had a conversation with two other my age, 53-year-olds. We talked about that show on the late 60s, maybe, that had that really cute guy on, what's his name? And we all agreed that it was a really great show. Love that. So we're talking to you about word retrieval and whether or not your age is a factor. And this is Corrine. You're 75.
Yes, I am.
All right. And what's your trick, Corrine?
Well, I want to say I really enjoy you gals.
Thank you. We're glad you remembered that.
That I remembered, but let's see. I forgot why I was calling.
Okay. Ba-dum-bum. Okay.
Kidding. My mother taught me many years ago to go through the alphabet.
I do it all the time. All the time.
It
really does. Yeah. It really does. So you can't think of a name or a word and you just go A, B. And it usually pops out at you when you hit the letter.
Right. You think of your brain as a computer and it's in there somewhere.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Thanks, Corrine.
Sure.
All right. This is Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara's, we put her on hold. Maybe you can find her, Elif. This is Monica. Hey, Monica.
Good morning.
Hi, you're in your 50s.
Right, and I teach preschool, and I had a little boy, 4 years old, go to the other side of the room and bring some paper towels to me, and when he got to the other side of the room, he forgot what he went over there for.
I love that child.
So he's looking around. He finally saw the paper towels and brought them back. And the younger teacher who was standing next to me said, well, that's scary. And I said, well, it's a relief to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, to see that it happens to little ones as
Gold
well.
Gold star for that kid.
Yeah, why did I come into this room and you have to go walk back and start over?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Monica, thanks. Glad you were listening.
Thank you.
On the text line, switching and flipping numbers is called dyscalcia. D-I-S-C-A-L-C-I-A. I've had it my whole life. Phone numbers are a nightmare. This is Ellen. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Remember how you said that once you finally retrieve a word like Spartacus, you're never going to forget it.
Or fossil, but right.
I will try to teach myself word pronunciation all my life, and I still stumble over like gesture and gesture. I know I don't know it, and I know it's one of those.
What's
and
a gesture?
It's just using a hard G instead of a soft G.
A hand
gesture,
right.
Gesture.
So how do you say it while I've got you?
It's a soft G.
Soft G. And I okay, you told me that maybe now because I'm on the radio with you, I'll finally remember. But
it won't be an issue
it's
anymore.
It's a J for gesture.
And I can't do
gesture.
It.
Gesture.
No, a gesture is somebody who entertains you.
Right.
She's talking about when you're moving your hands in a gesture. Right.
And I confuse them, and I also confuse when to use native and when to use naive. And I'm not stupid, but I have trouble with this, and I know I have trouble with that, and I can't fix it. Whereas you said, if you retrieve a noun, I think you're right. You've put enough layers on your brain, it helps. A clue I've heard is besides, like, going through the alphabet, you try to, if you tell your brain you want to remember something, you try to associate other senses with it.
Right,
like
hearing,
or what did it smell like? You know, something like that. You try to
get
another sense.
Yeah.
To just drive it in.
I've never done that.
It works. It's a lot of work to do it. I think it's called mnemonics. M-N-E-M-O, the science.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
They have a lot of hints to use, but they're all hard work.
We hate that. I
know.
It to be easy. Ellen, thank you for the call. This is Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hi.
I've had memory issues for a long time, and I'm 53.
Uh-huh.
And I was complaining to my doctor, and he told me to take plastic number 7 out of my life. And what? That's the recycle number, like on the bottom of the water bottle or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's got PBAs in it, the bisphenol A. And I've only done it for about a month, and I'm so much better. I used to have to look at my husband, and he would just fill in the blank.
Okay, we have two open mouths here.
Well, like, you're saying you're not using plastic bottles anymore?
Oh, no. I've gone to glass everything, even storage containers. I'm just trying to take plastic out of my life, but especially number 7.
But think of all our grandparents who weren't having plastic bottles with the milk they ordered or soda came
True.
In a can.
Yeah.
And that
know,
wasn't bothering
made a
them.
Huge difference in my life.
Well, good. Know. Glad you figured out what works for you, Judy, and glad you were listening. Remembered
yeah,
to
thank
listen.
You.
All right. Thanks. Text from 630. I can't remember my favorite salad dressing. Balsamic. I just ask my wife. The show from the late 60s with the really cute guy was 77 Sunset Strip.
Oh.
I think there were probably several of them. I don't remember if I've got memory problems, says one. 3129.
What was that guy's name? It was Kooky.
Ed Burns.
Ed Burns.
E-D-D Burns.
Oh, there was some agent that came up with that.
Yeah.
Good music to bite your nails to or suck your thumb to. I can't remember what it was that I read, but it coincided with my spending a little bit of time, I don't know, about 3-4 weeks ago with a male friend. We were having coffee, and he bites his nails. And I've always had a problem with this because I was a nail biter. And
how were you cured?
I don't remember.
Was that as a child or as an adult?
Oh, no, as a child. I've told you the story of my dad offering me a colossal amount of money to stop biting my nails, and I didn't do it.
I did that. I did that for a grandchild.
And how'd it work out?
It worked out great. The deal was for a month. You don't bite your nails, and I'll give you X amount of money, which was considerable for a grandchild at that time. And he stopped for a month, and I paid him, and then he went right back.
Yeah, well, I knew I wasn't going to stop. I just thought those nails were too good. I never was a thumb sucker, but if you were a nail biter or thumb sucker, or if you were the parent of one, what was tried and did it work to help you stop biting your nails? And it's weird that I don't remember. I think being in high school and seeing that people had
noticed.
Nice nails.
Right.
I think as soon as I became thoroughly appearance obsessed, which was, I was about 6. Now, yeah, I think that was when I stopped biting them.
Yeah, and I know there are people, sometimes with kids, they'll make them wear gloves, or there's something that you can paint on fingernails. That
iodine.
Tastes terrible.
They used,
right.
They used to paint iodine, which of course you could see this kind of nasty orange stuff.
Right. Now, this is Candace, who can relate to you, Judy. Right, Candace?
Hello, ladies. Can
Hi.
You hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. When I was in freshman high school, I started being best friends with this girl, Carrie, and she had the most gorgeous nails. Really long, and up until then, I tried everything. The stuff you put on your nails that tastes bad, nothing would make me stop. As soon as I saw her nails, I was so envious. I just literally quit almost overnight. And I grew my nails so long, and one day my mom said, "Are those fake nails?" And I was like, "No, they're real." She could not believe it. She was floored that I was able to quit.
Because you had been a nail biter.
A terrible one. Yes.
Now, had she been trying to bribe you or induce you to...
No.
She left you alone.
No, she kind of would mock me. and I just... There was something about her hands and her nails, and I just came to realize also, I think, because I was getting older, that it was also so gross. And I just kind of quit overnight. I just was like, that was it for me.
That's interesting. Oh. Very self-motivating. Can you recall at all about the process? Would you just go out of habit to bite your nails and then just stop yourself?
It's weird because I think because I had tried the nail polish route first, that I was already doing it less. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the taste was so bad. And then I befriended her. And I think what happened was I started actually grooming and taking care of my nails. Because my girlfriend showed me what she did. And then I started putting the oil on it, the cuticle oil. And once you started taking care of them, you didn't want to mess them up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think it was more of it was a stronger desire to have great-looking nails than it was to bite them.
All right. Do you do your own nails now?
Yes, I still do.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Candace.
Thanks, buddy. Love you.
Thank you.
This is Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. I have 4 children. I had one that sucked their thumb and had one that bit their nails. And it always kind of grossed me out when I see older people that are still biting their nails and they're really, really little. So it's kind of mean. But when he was like 4 and 5, he kept biting him. It's like he would slap at his hands, and he stopped. He doesn't do it. And I don't know if that was mean or not, but it was just kind of like a reminder to stop biting and biting. And then my daughter, there was like a cone thing you put over their thumb.
Yeah.
And they would sleep on it with at night. And she was to the point, she was probably 6, where she wanted to stop, but she didn't realize she was doing it. So at night, we put it on, and for some reason, that worked with her.
How long did it take with each one, with your nail biter and your thumb sucker?
The thumb sucker was probably like 2 months. And it, when they're little, they do it during the day. But then as they get older, they're kind of self-conscious about it. But they do it when they're sleeping, and they don't realize it. It probably was like 2 months of you putting this cone thing on and strap, and it broke the habit.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son, it took a little longer. And then it got to the point, too, I would just say his name, and he knew.
So you were slapping his hands for a couple of months?
Yeah, probably. I just would give him a quick, like, reminder. And then it got to the point where I'd say, Matthew. And then he knew what I was saying.
Matthew. Sure in trouble.
I felt terrible because I would see older women and men, and there's not even any white on their nails. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I've seen it. Sue, thanks a lot. And this is Kurt. Hi, Kurt.
I kind of got out of a habit of chewing on my nails once my mother started painting them.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, putting nail polish on them?
Yes, ma'am.
How old were you when that happened?
It must have been around, I don't know, about 12 or 13.
Oh.
What did your friends say?
They thought it was kind of strange.
That feels mean to me.
Of course, looking back now, that would all be in style. The musicians do that.
Right. Well, did she paint them black?
No, it was different, like pink and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, thanks, Kurt.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and this is Roy. Hi, Roy.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, Roy. What's your deal?
I'm 53 years old, and I will wake up in the middle of the night, and I still suck my thumb.
Honest to God, how are your teeth?
I've got a little bit of an overbite.
And you have no idea that you're doing it in the middle of the night until you wake up. I mean...
Yes and no.
Does it help you go to sleep?
Yeah, it does. I know it's weird.
No, it's your thing. Is there somebody who shares your bed?
She sleeps downstairs. I sleep upstairs.
Oh, is she aware of it? Is she aware that you do that?
No, after 30 years, no, I've kept it a secret.
Get out.
Well, how can she... If she slept with you for X amount of years, she never woke up and saw you doing that?
Not that I'm aware of. She never said anything.
Hmm. Wow. Would you like to stop, or you don't really care that much anymore?
Well, being 53 years old, it really doesn't matter now.
Or it matters more.
Well, you're not dead yet, Roy.
No, of course.
There you go.
Of course.
Well, thank you for your candor.
Glad you were listening.
Oh, I always listen to you every Saturday.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That was Roy, and this is Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hi. Good morning, girlfriends.
Hi.
In addition to being a dad, I'm a psychology professor.
Okay.
And so somebody recommended hot sauce. So we talked to our son. He was like probably 5, and his teeth were, the shape was being changed. Yep, I want to stop sucking my thumb. So we put it with his full cooperation. Then something happened. He got stressed. He pops it in his mouth, goes right to the bathroom, washes it off. So then we waited till he was asleep, and like commandos, we crept into his room and dabbed it on his thumb without him waking up. Because like when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're half asleep. You don't say to yourself, "Oh,
you're a psychologist."
Right. So
you're a psychologist. So
aren't you sort of laughing at yourself, resorting to Tabasco when you're a behavior changer and everything?
Well, sometimes there's a little little more pressure. Like, I should be able to figure this out, like a mechanic who can't start his own car.
Yeah.
kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
But rewards and punishment is part of psychology. So we did it at night. Now, this was like 15 years ago. As I recall, it was like no more than a couple of nights. It might have been fixed in one night. Once we did it at night, that took care of it for him.
Wow.
And the kicker is he loves hot sauce now. Probably unrelated, but it's fun to try to tie it.
Interesting.
Wait, quick, Rob. Have you ever had a client come through and have the same problem, and have you told them that you did this?
Oh, I'm not a counselor. I'm a professor. I teach.
Oh.
But if somebody talked to me when I speak to parenting groups, I would absolutely recommend that.
With the child's consent.
I'd start there, but, I mean, if it needed to be changed, we do lots of things our kids don't want us to do. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend. You didn't
That's
take much
we
on,
do
the, on the thumb.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about electric cattle prods? Where do you stand on those?
Don't listen to her, Rob. That's just like...
It's not covered by insurance.
Okay. Thanks,
Thank
Rob.
You.
Our number's 312-981-7200.
Kathy and Judy Band. Did it say nails?
Biting my nails.
And that's what we're talking about, biting your nails or thumb sucking. And were you the offender or was... This is Gwen's radio
Gwen,
or something. Gwen,
what's
we want to talk
on
to you.
With your, Gwen?
Gwen?
Hey, Gwen.
Okay.
This is Grace.
Oh, hi, Grace.
Hi.
What have you done with Gwen?
All right, okay. Grace, what's your thumb sucking story?
Well, I sucked my thumb till I was 5, and now I'm 68. So I sucked my thumb till I was 5, and my mom said she would give me a Smokey Bear teddy bear
Ooh.
If I stopped sucking my thumb
that quickly.
So I did. I got my Smokey Bear teddy bear and immediately started to bite my nails.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And so what'd she do? Did she try and bribe you out of that?
This I don't remember. I have always bitten my nails, and I cannot seem to consistently stop. I have stopped. I've stopped because I had to give an agreement to stop, and the agreement was for 2 weeks, and as soon as the 2 weeks was over, I started again.
Who'd you make the agreement with?
Oh, I did a self-actualization workshop, and at the end, we needed to all make agreements. So it was to a room.
But then you couldn't go back.
Then I went back to biting my nails until I go do the next workshop, and then I'll make another agreement.
So do you, when you look at your hands right now, is there something you could bite down on, or are you pushing the bar pretty far? Like, do you have any white on your nails?
Oh, no, I don't. And that's the kicker for me. As soon as there's an edge, it bugs me, and I have to get rid of the edge.
Now, did you ever have a job in which, I mean, did you ever work in retail where you're showing things?
A long time ago, I did, and the nails, no one ever said, don't bite your nails, you need to. I never showed jewelry. I never was, like, on a showcase and QVC and, you know, had to display something with my hands. And interestingly enough, my profession now, since 1999, is that of a dog walker.
Uh-huh.
And the dogs don't care, right?
No, the dogs don't care, and I wash my hands a lot. Well, what I find is that my nail biting is very unconscious if I'm reading a good mystery book.
Well, they're supposed to be nail biters.
Exactly.
There you go.
So here's the thing that accompanies biting your nails. You have to spit the nail out. Are there little nails all around
swallow.
Your house?
Some people swallow.
Oh, swallow?
Right.
Do you swallow your nails?
I do, and
you just got a Nick DiGiulio show.
Depending on the contents of my stomach, if I have an empty stomach, the nails give me heartburn.
Wow.
Oh, well, a double whammy,
there you go.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Grace, thanks for the call.
Oh, Grace.
Right.
You're very welcome. I love your show.
Thank you. All right. This is Carol. Hey, Carol.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. How are you, thumbsucker?
I love your show, and I've loved it for years.
Thank you
so much for being on. I'm 74. I was born in 1942. Mm-hmm. And when I was born, the doctor delivered me and said to my mother, you're going to have a real problem. She's a natural-born thumbsucker. She came out with her thumb in her mouth.
Oh,
I wonder how common
sometimes
that is.
Sometimes you see that on ultrasound.
I never believed that, but years ago I saw in Life magazine a picture of a baby in womb with its thumb in its mouth. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, there's not a lot of room in there.
No, I know, but I guess there was enough room to put their thumb in their mouth.
Right.
Know? But I started sucking my thumb, and my mother...
Oh, don't go
she
away.
She would dip my thumb in ammonia. She would put hot peppers on it. She tied my right hand to the bed.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't reach it. I would put my toes in my mouth.
I did, too.
Yeah. And finally, when I was about 16, my grandmother lived with us, and my grandmother was German, and she used to call me Katerinchen. And she said, Katerinchen, what are you going to do when you get married and you go on your honeymoon and you have this beautiful negligee on and you get in bed with your husband? Are you going to suck your thumb? And I just looked at her and I thought, oh, my gosh. And right then and there, I decided to quit. But it took me one day at a time for a year.
Sure, it's a habit.
And I finally, after a year, went to bed that night, put my thumb in my mouth, and I'm like, what, am I nuts? You know, and I've never sucked my thumb since. But I switched out the thumb sucking for smoking.
Now how are you doing?
I quit smoking 26 years ago.
Oh,
there you go.
I have a thumb sucking question.
I have come to the conclusion that all of this has to do with our addictions.
Well, it's true.
That I'm losing the word in my head again. That you are prone to doing things. You switch one thing out for another.
Inclined, right? Right.
Yeah, you switch one thing out for another.
So when you are a thumb sucker, Carol, do you always suck the same side thumb? Is there no gratification from the left thumb as there is from the right?
That feels weird. That always felt weird.
Uh huh.
But I also got a callus on top of my thumb
from sucking it.
Yeah, and after I quit sucking my thumb, the callus went away.
Well, if you
that
got it from sucking your thumb, that works out nice.
And there were ways that you had to suck your thumb. I always had a blanket with a silk edging on it.
That's how I used to suck my thumb.
Until you were 16.
Blankets up. I used to rub the silk between my feet or on your hands. I mean, there was a whole process to this.
Yeah.
Until you were 16, you had the blankie and the thumb going.
And the grandma.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grandma. Okay, Carol.
Now I'm the grandma.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, girls.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the text line, kids suck their thumbs for a reason, comfort. For a child that is insecure and is self-comforting, slapping, demeaning, and generally making the child feel even worse doesn't make them feel more secure. And I think with little ones, that's true. If they're doing that for comfort, although...
crawling into your mother's lap.
Well, yeah, I mean, and to see a 4 or 5-year-old with a pacifier, you think, oh, God. And yet, I guess I wouldn't have such trouble if a child was sucking their thumb than if they were sucking a pacifier. I don't know.
Well, you have to decide where you're going to be judgmental and where you're not.
Thanks to Bob Ferguson, our fabulous engineer, to Elif Garris, who sat in today for our producer, Kristen Decker, and for Sam Paniatovich, who apparently has already taken off. Sam, thank you for your sports reports and for your fine out-of-context.
Shenanigans.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And hello to Amy Guth. Hey,
hello.
Amy, what's going on in the business lunch?
You know, today we are going to be talking about generational businesses, right? Where the kids do or do not want to take over the family businesses, and kind of taking a look at how many of the kids end up taking on that business. We're going to be talking about that and the 48-hour film project, which is coming up soon. We're going to be talking about that. And the Crain's Chicago has the Tech 50 list out of the 50 tech leaders in Chicago.
Oh, and we're quite a tech center now, aren't we?
We are.
Sort of competing with the West Coast.
I think we're far better than Silicon Valley, personally.
There we go.
Well, it is interesting. Considerably less expensive to live here.
Considerably. And fewer earthquakes. So we got that going for us. Yeah. But also, you know what? I think we are starting to do so much biotech here that I think that might be our sort of claim to fame here in the tech world. There's a lot of biotech, especially coming out of University of Chicago.
So interesting.
That could be our spot. That could be our sweet spot here. That'll be good. I got to tell you, though, that nail-biting conversation you were just having was really creeping me out. It was like nails on a chalkboard.
You never did.
Oh, never. I never sucked my thumb. I never bit my nails. And it creeps me out. Even to see like a tiny child doing it, I know it's like self-comforting. It is nails on a chalkboard. I was back there cringing. I still have the willies so much. Oh, I got to shake them off.
Ew.
I know. I got to shake them off. Do some radio. This is Chicago's very own, my friend, 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.